Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
And so today I want to talk about the superhero inside of you and the kryptonite that tries to trip you up. So I started thinking about superhero powers. What is my superhero power? I'm like, well, can't do anything really cool. I got no, like, great dance moves. Can't sing really cool. Can't even touch my tongue to my nose. Can you do that? I can't touch my tongue to my nose. Can you do it? Well, try. Y'all aren't even trying. No, can't do that. But I do have a double-jointed thumb. Most of y'all stop about here. And mine just keeps going and going and going and going and going and going. So I always thought if I ever had a chance on getting on David Letterman's Stupid Human Tricks, that would be my shot. So this is my superpower. Who has, and I won't come up here and I won't make you show it or do it, but how many of you has some little funky little thing and that's like your superhuman power? Give me a hey! So we all have these little things, but that wasn't very many people and y'all weren't real strong about it and neither was I. We don't feel very superhero-ish, do we? But let's flip to the kryptonite side. How many of you know what your kryptonite is? Mine is 54th Street Grill. I cannot go there because I have a drinking problem. I order that queso with the waffle fries. I do not dip the waffle fries in the queso. I pick up that little thing. It's a cup. It is not a bowl. And I drink the queso at 54th Street Grill because liquid cheese was made to be drank. Can I get an amen? Jesus is so good. I won't stop at the Doubletree because the cookies are so good. Can't stay there. I'll eat all the cookies. I'll go down there. I am the cookie monster. I will get it done. How many of you have a food kryptonite and you know what it is? Give me a hey. Okay, listen how much stronger that was. We know what our kryptonite is, but we don't know what our superpower is. Today, that changes. Today, we tap into our power and we stop focusing on our weakness. Today, we begin to learn what's on the inside of us and exactly how to use it. Because here's the problem that a lot of us have. We have access to power, but we don't know how to use it. Therefore, we don't use the power and we stay weak. And we keep tripping up over these things time and time again. You know, there was a survey that was done, and it said, what is your number one temptation? And they must have, like, surveyed Christians because it's a little bit lighter than I thought it would be. But did you know that over 50% of people said, I stop because of fear every day? Fear to apply for the job, fear to apply for the promotion, fear to actually try to go to school, fear to ask them out, fear to say yes when they ask me out, fear to get married, fear to buy the car, fear to start the business. People stop mostly because of fear. Everybody say fear.
Fear.
People stop because of fear. And then in another survey, they surveyed the top four reasons that people give in to the temptation. And the number one temptation is to fear and letting fear stop them. And over 50% of the people, you know what the number one reason why they stop? They said, I don't know. I don't know why I stop. I don't know why I can't do it. So more than half of us are in fear, and more than half of us don't even know why we are. So with that, I wanted to see if that's representative. How many of you feel like you stop because of fear often, and you're not even really sure why you stop? Go ahead and just be honest today. Look, the survey's right. So that's what happens to us. And I got to thinking, it's really not unintentional. Well, Superman, kryptonite makes Superman stop. And Lex Luthor was his arch enemy. He had the ability to make kryptonite, and he had kryptonite. But did you know in most of the movies and comics, it wasn't Lex Luthor that had to actually use the kryptonite? He got it to the other criminals, and they would use the kryptonite and stop Superman. I got to thinking about it, and I thought, isn't it funny how much Lex Luthor sounds like Lucifer? Amen. Lucifer has this kryptonite of fear in our lives, and the devil himself doesn't even come after you with it. He's got enough of it with your enemies and your own personal insecurities and the little demons in hell. He lets them take the kryptonite, put it right in front of us. And we're wondering, why is it that I'm just walking through life and I just trip over it again and again? He's got the kryptonite and he's smart with it. He's smart with it like the little kid in the barbershop. You see, there's this little kid. He goes in the barber's and the barber says, oh, stupidest kid on the planet, get this. He said, I'll offer him 2 coins for 50 cents or $1. He'll always take the 2 coins over the $1. He's like, hey, kid, come here. 2 coins or $1. Kid swipe up the coin, takes off. He's like, stupidest kid ever. So later on, the guy finishes, getting his hair cut, heads out on the street, gets down about a block, sees the kid walking out of an ice cream shop. He's like, hey, kid, why don't you wise up and take the dollar? He said, hey, sir, the day I take the dollar, the game's over. The kid is the enemy and the barber is us. We think we're so smart, we've got it figured out. And the enemy keeps taking the same thing over and over again and putting it in front of us. And he says, the game's not over yet. I can keep playing the same game. It's not over until they have the strength and the power to overcome this. Everybody say, I need strength.
I need strength.
We need strength. I'm going to take my earrings off if y'all don't mind. They're clicking on this microphone. And the guys in the audio booth will start shooting balloon guns at me, and I'm just not in the mood. No, there we go. That's better. We need strength. You know, we feel like we need strength. You ever heard that song, I wake up in the morning and I dab? Who's got a good dab? Let's see one. I wake up in the morning and I... Oh, yeah, there's the cool people. The rest of y'all take a note. For the grown-ups, I'll say, how many of you say, good morning, Lord? How many of y'all say, good Lord, it's morning? God doesn't want us to wake up with good Lord, it's morning, or wishing we could dab, but instead of being depressed. So I'm going to give you 4 keys, the 4 keys to getting your power out of Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 18. It's going to be our basis scripture. And the number one thing that we have to go to as we dive into the scripture is realize the center of everything is our high God time. It is our Bible time. It is being connected to the power source. And you'll find out at the end of this, we'll come right back to the beginning. When we're in this power source of our high God time, being alone with God, being with Him. The problem is you and I feel like, well, I'll just pull myself up by my bootstraps. I've done it before. I'll do it again. Who am I talking to today? Who said that before? Come on, say me.
Me.
Yeah, we've all said that. The problem with self-help books and the problem with pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps is that physical strength will fail. We don't need to up our physical strength. We need to up our spiritual strength. And the only way to up our spiritual strength, because when we finally get weak, He is strong. We are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I'm giving you more scripture than you could even write down. There is power in God, and that power, greater is He who is in me than he that is in the world. There is a power that resides on the inside of you, but I'm here to tell you we're disconnected from the power. And I'm going to show you how, and we're going to fix it. Everybody ready to fix it?
Yes.
Okay, so we have to start with our high God time, and that's where the first words say in Ephesians 3:16, it says, and I pray that out of His glorious riches that He may strengthen. Everybody say strength. That He may strengthen you with power. Strengthen you with power. We need strength for power. I was just at a pastor's wives meeting, and one of the ladies was saying she had Christine Kane into Preacher Women's Conference. And she's like, Christine called me on the stage and she wanted to do a push-up contest. And I said, oh snap, I'm glad she didn't do it here. I can't remember the last time I did a push-up. And I started thinking, I need to do some push-ups so that I'm strong enough to do a push-up. Because if I knew for a fact that I could do at least 2 good push-ups right now, I would do those for you so I looked good. I don't know that I can do 2 push-ups. I don't want to find out right now. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go home and I'm going to start doing some push-ups every day. No big deal. Drop down. Give me 20. Do as many as I can. Do it a few times a day. I'll get my strength up. Well, day one, I went to do it. I was going to do the push-ups and I decided, you know what? But first, I need some strength. So I went and made a pizza. True story. I'm not stretching this or elaborating at all. I'm like, I'll eat the pizza. I'll do the push-ups. I forgot to do the push-ups after the pizza. We know where to get our strength. We know how to get strength. We get distracted. We get set aside, or we think we need to do other things to be strong. So we need to figure out how to get our strength without getting distracted, because the strength that leads us to power, and when it says that he may strengthen you with power in verse 16. Well, what is power? I don't like memorizing scriptures like, I pray that out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being. No. Don't memorize scripture and recite it like that. Read the scripture and ask every question that pops into your mind, because what you'll find is that God will answer it. So I read it. I pray that out of his glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power. And I stopped and I started asking, well, what is power? I know what power is. Power is when God gives you the answer that you don't know. Should I stay or should I go? God knows. Do I take the job or do I not? God knows. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He will direct my footsteps, the footsteps of a righteous man. They are ordered of the Lord. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm walking on my feet with my shoes shed with the gospel, the preparation of the gospel of peace. God is leading me. He's guiding me. He's guiding me with peace. It says in Colossians, let peace be the umpire. Oh, I'm walking in peace. I'm walking in peace when I'm connected to the power. He knows where I need to go. He knows where you need to go. He's got the power to know what is unknowable by people. He has the power to shut down the enemy, or the weapon that just won't quit, the spouse that just won't get off your back, the boss that won't leave you alone, the kid who asked the 50 millionth why in a daytime, the neighbor who keeps talking bad about you. He has the power to shut down the enemy and shut down the weapon, because no weapon formed against you will prosper. He has the power to change the heart of the Pharaoh like he did for Moses. Well, there's no Pharaoh in my life. Fine, change the power of a king. There's no king in my life. Fine, change the heart of a president. Change the heart of a city. Change the heart of a nation. Change the heart of a division. Change the heart of a schism. Change the heart of racism. We serve a God who can change the heart of a cold spouse, a cold nation, a cold city, or a cold people. We serve a God with power to do whatever we need. Can somebody give me an amen in the house this morning? We serve a God of power. But we have to know how to tap into the power, and that's what we're about to do. Watch this. I pray out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power. How? Through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart. How is Christ going to dwell in my heart? Oh, he answers that question. The next two words are through faith. If you want strength, you need faith. Through faith. Well, we're Faith Church. We talk about faith. We know what faith is. We think positive thoughts. We speak positive words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We pray in faith. We speak in faith. We believe in faith. We feel like we got a good handle on this whole faith thing. We get healed by faith. But church, there are some things that a lot of us don't know about faith just yet. We know we get saved by faith, but to get saved, we need grace, because we was good at sinning. Oh, you still got your old walk. It's in there. It's in there. Be honest in the house today, online, television, other campuses, everybody. Be honest right now and give me a good. That's me. If you were so good at sinning before you met Jesus, the devil cried the day you got saved. I want to hear, that's me. Come on. They're honest over here. I'm going to give you guys a chance for the lightning not to strike. If you were good at sinning, you might still be good at sinning. You might have been so good at sinning last night you forgot where your clothes were. If you were so good at sinning, we'll go ahead and say BC. We'll leave last night alone. We'll leave last night alone. If you were so good at sinning before you met Jesus Christ, I just need to hear that's me.
That's me.
So we're all admitting we need grace.
Amen.
We need grace. Well, how does grace work? By grace.
Yes.
Works through faith.
Yes.
You're not getting any grace unless you got faith.
Right.
Well, are you sure? Well, Ephesians 2:8 says so. Ephesians 2:8 says, for grace... For by grace, you have been saved through faith. By grace, through faith. Grace works by faith. So even for the grace of God, even for the grace of the fact that you're still lying. I know I am. I'll make it like through 10 whole minutes without sinning. I'll be feeling really good about myself. Get out of the church parking lot, not even cuss anybody out. Somebody cuts you off on the highway. You want to call them an idiot. You're like, hey, dude, you're such a... Yeah, whatever, you know. God bless you. Have a nice day. Use all your fingers to wave instead of one. know, you're feeling really good. And then somebody asks you a question and you don't want to hurt their feelings, so you lie to them to save their feelings. And you find out, doggone it, the fear of hurting their feelings has just tripped me up. What does that do? We need that grace. Grace works by faith. Let's go back to Ephesians 3. I pray that out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established. Another version says rooted and grounded in love. Say it real loud so everybody on TV can hear you. In
love.
In love. That's why we have growth track, friends. Rooted and grounded, rooted and established. How do you grow roots quicker? You spend a few minutes getting deeper so we can give you things. You know, I can preach a little jig and get you on your feet, and inspiration is important, but you can't only have inspiration and have no revelation. So sometimes you got to shout, and sometimes you got to sweat, and sometimes you got to cry it out, and we can do that later if you want to. Sometimes we can do a snappy statement, because I can tell you right now, there's a line in my message. It says, you don't need to power through, you need to pray through. Oh, see, everybody likes that. We're right. Oh, power through, pray through. But you didn't write it down. What'll happen is tomorrow is somebody's like, I just need some power. And like, you don't need power to get through the day. You just need to set. There's this cool line yesterday in the message. I'll remember it later. Right? So cool lines are great and little statements are good to give us an amen. But then there's nuts and bolts and there's concepts that will change your life. I am here to tell you right now, I hate when people overpromise and underdeliver. Don't say it's the best preacher ever. Don't say it's the best message ever. Don't say this is going to change your life. And unless it's the best preacher, the best message, and it's going to change your life. I'm here to tell you the nuts and bolts of what I'm about to tell you will change your life. I am not going to overpromise. I am going to tell you that this is a God promise. And I am going to tell you this is what the enemy does not want you to know about how to use your faith, how to get your blessing, how to get you to your future. I'm here to promise you right now what I'm about to give you. You're going to go, oh my gosh, I understand what happened. Are you guys ready to get into this? And it says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. If we're going to be rooted and established in love, we have to know what love is. Love can be defined in one word. When you know it, I want you to shout it out. It has three letters. It starts with G. It ends with D. And the word is
God
is love. Love is God. 1 John 4:16 said, and so we know and we rely on the love God has for us. God is
love.
Whoever lives in God lives in love. And whoever lives in love lives in God.
Amen.
Because you can't separate. God is love. You can't separate them so much so you can go through your Bible and every time you see the word God, you can cross it out and write the word love. Every time you see the word love, you can cross it out and write the word God.
Amen.
We see people, oh, Bob, we're going to have our wedding and we're going to pick a scripture. It's going to be so creative and so new. We're going to use 1 Corinthians 13. Oh my gosh, every wedding. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love is not boastful. God is patient. God is kind. God is not boastful. God and love are the exact same thing. Why is that important? Because once we remember that God and love are the same, every time we take a step towards bitterness, every time we take a step toward unforgiveness, every time we take a step toward aggravation, every time we take a step toward frustration, every time, get this, friends, that we justify that we are so right in our feelings. I want a strong amen if you've ever said this in your life. I have a right to feel this way.
Amen.
Well, you have a right, but every step out of love is a step out of God. You have a right, but do you really want to do that? You don't understand. They were convicted. They were arrested. They're put away for life. They have life without the possibility of parole. I have a right to be upset about this. I have a right to be mad. I have a right to be angry. I have a right to be hurt. I have a right to be bitter. You have a right, but do you want to let the enemy take this rock of unforgiveness, fear of love in your life, that if you love that person who did you so wrong, they're just going to get away with it. He's going to put this right here in front of you and say, come on, baby, trip over that every time. Because when you trip over that, you are powerless because you have no love. And faith works by love. Faith works by love. Yeah, Galatians 5, 6. The very end of that scripture. Wait till they put it on the screen. And the very end of the scripture, it says, but faith which worketh by love. Huh. Faith works by love. So you're saying I can pray for the healing. I can say all the right words. I can quote Mark 11, 23 and 24. I can, God, give me a bigger house. Do this. Raise your hand once I get to your prayer and then leave it up. God, I ask you to heal my body. I ask you to help my child. I ask you to protect our home. I ask you to give us a better house, a better car, a better job. I confess it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're right there, right? Well, we're praying by faith. Except for if you don't have love, there is no fuel in your faith. No faith if you have no love. Faith is the fuel that goes into the car of faith. Faith will take you somewhere, but it's got to have fuel. The fuel is love. My ex-husband, he used to... I'm going to pick up this rock before I trip over it. My ex-husband... He used to steal my car. He was a drug addict, and he would steal my car, and he would go rent it to a drug dealer. He would give it to a drug dealer. He would get drugs, and I would be stuck without a vehicle to take me to work. So the drug dealer would use it for a few days, and it'd eventually get impounded. I'd get it from the impound. Finally, police officers told me, whenever you park your car, siphon the gas out of it. The car's not going to work without gas. Keep a gas can with you. I'm like, that's going to be cute at the grocery store. Because he knew the car wouldn't work without fuel. Your faith will not work without fuel. The fuel for your faith is love. The problem is, we get right here, we have every right to be mad about what they're saying on the news, the issue in our country, the issue in our city, the neighbor who's out of line, the person who molested you and raped you or killed your child. You have a right to be mad. The enemy will take that right and take you right out of love and leave you faithless and powerless and sorry and sick and depressed and poor, but you have a right. We are combating big things here today, friend. This will change your life. Faith works by love. Grace works by faith. You can't even get grace without love. You can't get the grace you need to be forgiven without the love. We gotta have the love. And the enemy doesn't want you to have love because he knows. It says in 1 John 4:18, it says there's no fear in love because perfect love casts out fear. God has a force field. Talk about superheroes. God has a force field around him. And fear comes and it just bounces up against that force field and bounces up against that force field and bounces up against that force field. Fear tries to come. And if we try and bring a little in with us, God's like, mm-mm-mm, we don't do that here. It's got to go. Amen? Perfect love casts out fear. I asked Ashton, I said, babe, I need a picture. I need a story about perfect love casting out fear. And this quick, she said, oh, I got one. I remember when I was 7 years old and Bubba, which is her brother Austin, and Grammy took me to Six Flags for Fright Fest. She said there was one of those creepy guys who came up and he had this chainsaw. And she said, she did it just this way. He got all up in my face like. And she said, I just started screaming. I was so scared. She said, but I knew Bubba loved me and I had faith in him. So I just grabbed onto Bubba. She said, the second I grabbed onto Bubba, he jumped out in front of me and he said, hey, you idiot, you get out of here. She's 7 years old. Leave her alone. She said, as soon as I had faith in his love and I grabbed onto that, she said, he cast out my fear and I didn't have a problem anymore. That's what God does for you. His perfect love is going to cast out this fear. And I know this looks like a rock, but you don't have a rock. You have a spirit after you. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love. Power and love. Love gives you power. Power and love and a sound mind. Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of the bondage. Fear is a bondage. The spirit of the bondage again to fear. The enemy is stalking you with this fear. He is stalking you with this problem. So let's go back to Ephesians 3. And we're going to get that fourth thing. And that fourth thing is, through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, you may have power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Who's got that song? I got the power.
It's getting kind of hectic.
I don't even think that's dancing. I don't know what that is. That's me like trying not to dance. Don't get too crazy with it. Who sings that song? CNC Music Factory? Yeah, CNC Music Factory. Yeah. Whoever said that, that's good. So it's getting kind of hectic. It's getting kind of hectic in our life. We need the power to pull through. How do we get the power? We need strength. And that's why I came up with this. Strength. To get strength, we need faith. Faith doesn't work unless we have love. But once we operate in love, then God gives us the
power.
It is love that leads to power. It is love that leads to faith. I've heard it said before that love is the hinge that the faith of door swings on. Love is the rod that your curtain hangs on. Everything hangs on love. And here's the great thing about love, my friends. It says in the word that love never fails. It never fails. Come on, somebody. It's never going to fail you. It's never going to leave you. But in my last few minutes, watch what the enemy will try and do with you. The enemy will try and take love and make us limp and love starved. Feeling like we don't have the love. We say, well, once bitten, twice shy. But you don't know my daddy left me. You don't know my mama left me. You don't know my leader. My boss shut down the company with no notice. My spouse walked out and I had no idea. My boyfriend, my girlfriend broke up with me and I have no idea why. My mentor just stopped returning my phone calls. Once bitten, twice shy. And what happens is love is an act of faith. And withholding love is an act of fear. So what we will do is we will start taking fear and we will call it building a wall around our heart to protect ourselves. Anybody built any walls in their life? Go ahead and say amen.
Amen.
The enemy is trying to pervert love in your life so that you don't have the ability to love anymore. That way you will be disconnected from the love of God. You begin to distrust man or woman. You begin to distrust humans. And you translate that distrust into God. Once he gets you disconnected from this love source, one step out of love is a step out of God. Let's do that one more time. One step out of love is a step out of
God.
That is so important. I don't want you to lose that. I want to say it one more time. One step out of love is a step out of
God.
That's what he wants to do. It steals our power, the power of love. It drives out fear. It's the fear cure. The power of love, it is the faith fuel. The power of love is the missing ingredient. The power of love, and that's where this thing comes all the way back around. The power of love. Love is God and God is love. That's why in the center it's being connected to the power source and we need our high God time. We need to spend time with him because he is love. When we connect to love, we get a power that we did not know. And I'll end with this scripture in Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who by and in consequent of the actions of his power. And where does his power work? His power that works within us. The power in us is faith that is fueled by love. God, I don't have enough faith. You don't have enough love. You have enough faith. You have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Your problem is not a faith problem. Your problem is a love problem. And that's when he can do super abundantly above all we can dare ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that works within him. The power that works within him is the power that works within us. His power is in us. All we have to do is untap it. Never think of yourself and think of your weaknesses and your problems before your power. God is your power. He is in you. He is wanting out. And the way you take the lid off the power of God in your life is your love walk. Amen. So if you want to stand with me with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to join me in the international sign of surrender. But I want you to close your hands. And inside your hands, I want you to imagine that person, that place, that thing, that event that you have a right to be angry about. And we're going to release it and not let that right to be angry short circuit the power in our life any longer. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. God, this is a powerful moment. This is when the shackles come off of our feet. This is when our bondage is broken. This is what has been short-circuiting our power. That short circuit is being fixed and reconnected. This is when we plug back into our power source. This is when the weight that has been pulling us down is being released and we can fly. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we're all going to say out loud, say, I forgive. Now open your hands and say their name. I forgive that person. I forgive that place. I forgive it, God. 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 I want you to say it out loud. I forgive it, God. I forgive it, God. I forgive it, God. I forgive it, God. I forgive it. The enemy's going to come back to us just like that kid in the barber shop. But you know what, enemy? Not today, Satan. Not today. You're going to bring it back, but we're going to keep our hands open for the blessing. We're not going to put our hands around it again. And if we do end up with our hands around it, we know that grace works by faith, and we will release it again into God's grace. And we say we have faith in his grace. When we fail him, he never fails us. And we release it to you, God, and now we are free to operate and your love, which is going to power our faith. And since our faith has power, we're going to go ahead and release some faith statements in you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I give you the power to send us opportunities. I give you the power to send us blessings. I give you the power to empower us in our community. I give you the power to empower us at our job. I give you the power to bring us promotion. I give you the power to bring us healing. I give you the power to bring us relationship. I give you the power to change our city. I give you the power to change our country. I give you the power to change our government. I give you the power to change our lives. I give you the power to change our future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you give God a hand clap of praise this morning? Glory to God.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.